Genesis 26, verses 1 to 35. Here we have the account, an overview of the life of Isaac. There's not a great deal said about Isaac in Scripture, but here perhaps is the most extended passage concerning Isaac in his own life, in his own affairs as an adult. We read that there was famine, that he stayed in the land of the Philistines according to the word of God. He stayed where he was. So he was a guest, as it were, living in the land of Abimelech. We see that Isaac committed the same sin and failed in exactly the same way as his father Abraham had done when Abraham went to Egypt in a time of famine. And Isaac himself now repeats that same sin, that same error. He calls his wife Rebekah his sister. A similar occurrence, consequence falls out because of this sin, but Isaac is allowed to stay in that land and he prospers, but he meets envy and quarreling and bitterness, and he is thrown away, thrown out of the land and cast away from the land of the Philistines. And he moves away and travels and becomes a nomad again. Again, there's further trouble and hostility. And then they meet difficulty in the family, Isaac and Rebekah, with the manner of Esau, one of their sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau marries two Hittite women. And this brings sorrow to Isaac and Rebekah. That's a brief overview of Genesis 26, 1 to 35. Now we know that Isaac is in the direct line of the Abrahamic covenant. We're told in Hebrews 11 that by faith he blessed his sons. I take him therefore, of course, as a spiritual man. Not much is said about him, as I say in Scripture, but he is a spiritual man, one of God's people. Indeed, we read in this chapter that he calls upon the name of the Lord. We read that in verse 25. He was a spiritual man, therefore. Now, what lessons can I draw from this? Well, in this discourse, I want to draw one lesson. God's people meet with difficulties. It doesn't seem a major point. It seems rather an obvious point, but I stress it because it's here in Scripture. I make it, and I emphasize it, especially because, of course, we're still plagued with those teachers we sometimes call the prosperity gospelers, those who preach that once you come to Christ, everything in the garden is lovely. Everything is hunky-dory. The sun always shines. The Lord always smiles upon you. No difficulties, no illness, no trials of any kind, no afflictions. Everything in the garden is lovely. You get the best of this and the best of that. And preachers can preach in such a way as to try and sell Jesus Christ and the gospel by saying that what he offers is a better life in this life than anybody else and everybody else. It's utterly wrong. It's dangerous claptrap. It's error. It's utterly false. And it's very hurtful to God's people and very dangerous for them. God's people, in fact, meet with difficulties, very much so. I see that in this passage here. Now let me trace this out. I've already said that Isaac goes the same way as his father. He meets famine, he stumbles and he falls, and trouble comes. It seems we never learn from history. Let us learn from this history now. Let us learn from this record. I'm addressing the children of God primarily here. Brother, sister, we meet with difficulties. Isaac met with famine. That's in verse 1. We also meet this, that he was afraid. He says so in verse 7. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," because he was afraid to say. He was afraid of men. He was afraid of consequences. He was afraid of what they might do. I read of envy. I see that in verse 14. He had so many flocks and herds, did Isaac, and servants, that the Philistines envied him. And that brought on enmity. They stopped up the wells. They drove him out. They didn't want him. There was bitterness, verse 16. There was quarrelling. You get that in verses 19 to 20. They show hostility, verse 27. You were hostile. Hostile. He had no settled home, verse 22. He's wandering. He's afraid again, verse 24. God tells him not to be afraid. And then Esau makes this bad marriage, or bad marriages, 34 to 35. Let us put all that together. Here is a godly man, brother. Here is a godly man, Isaac and Rebecca. I'm speaking to you, sister, too. They meet famine. There's a disaster in their life. Sometimes it comes directly by the hand of God, the famine does. Sometimes it's by the hand of man, all this hostility, all this envy, all this bitterness, all this rejection. There's the hand of man. Sometimes sin is involved in it. Isaac and Rebecca are lying, trying to deceive, and they bring trouble upon themselves. Sometimes they bring it upon themselves in their own failures, in their upbringing of their children and all the rest. Family troubles, hostility, enmity, envy, jealousy, circumstances against them. The Lord's hand seems to go against them. Man's hand seems to go against them. All these things pile upon one another. And God is saying to them, fear not, fear not. Now, stop pretending, brother. Stop pretending, sister, that things are better than they are. Let us be honest. We are afraid. It's sinful. It's wrong of us. We condemn ourselves, but we are afraid. Let's confess it. Let's admit it. I remember saying to a person some years ago, pointing out that there are so many fear nots in the Bible. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Being said to God's people. And I said, these are there. Somebody said there's 365. I don't know whether that's true or not. One for each day of the year. But there are so many there. It's just a common failure and fault with believers that we are afraid. We should not be, but we are afraid of various things. Many things. Anything. And this person said to me, I'm never afraid. When I got to know this person a bit better, perhaps I might say there was never anybody so much afraid as this person. It was a nonsense, wasn't it? Of course we are afraid. God doesn't say, fear not, to waste his breath, as it were. Of course we are afraid. And we do meet afflictions. I was reading just now in Acts 14, verse 22. Paul and Barnabas teaching the people as they were moving in Asia Minor. They were teaching and preaching to the believers that through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom of God. Brother, are you meeting famine in your circumstances? Are you being tried in your workplace? You're meeting envy and bitterness? Has your own sin brought you into trouble? Your own failures? Have you tried to scheme your way out with lies and it's not worked, has it? No. Why am I saying all this? Do not believe the prosperity gospelers. Do not believe those who say such things as fear and doubt and opposition and suffering means that God is not with you. You're not a child of God. Rubbish. It's quite the opposite. God can try our faith. Our own sins can bring us there. Our own failures can bring upon us the sufferings. I learn all this from Genesis 26, 1 to 35. The scripture is written to instruct me, to warn me, to reprove me, to convince me, to convict me, to reprove me, to chastise me, to educate me in the faith. Brother, sister, is this passage instructing you, warning you, convincing you? helping you, encouraging you to see that though things may be difficult in your life, even in the family, for example, with Isaac and Rebecca, with Esau, that this is not necessarily a mark of God against you at all. You must not misread the Lord, misjudge the Lord here. Do not believe the prosperity gospelers. Believers do know bereavement, suffering, loneliness, illness. We do get bad doctor's reports. We do meet failure. Sometimes it's our fault. Sometimes it comes out of a clear blue sky. God brings it to us. Sometimes evil men are playing their part. I hope all this is an encouragement and a help and an instruction to you, brother and sister. Is it word for you, unbeliever, too? First, again, I remind you that the Word of God is honest. It shows us the failure and the sin and the mistakes and the difficulties of believers. Again, I'm not trying to sell Christ to you and saying that if you become a Christian, all will be smooth and easy and well. I'm not saying any such thing as that. The blood of Christ will wash you from every sin. You will have peace with God. Yes, an everlasting life, yes. But man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And, as I said, Acts 14:22, it is through much tribulation that we must enter the kingdom of God. Faith must be tried. Difficulties will come. Don't come to Christ to avoid difficulties. Come to Christ because you're an offence to God if you don't come. Come to God to glorify Him. Come to God in Christ that you might be saved from your sins and have everlasting life. And in the troubles of life, that you can reflect the glory of God before a fallen, miserable, wretched world. God's people meet with difficulties. That's what I see here in Genesis 26:1-35. May God speak to us and use these words for His glory in our lives, all of us. Amen.